My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And this is Monster, my podcast.
And this is The Rock Lizard.
There's a monster in my podcast.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding. I were in a desert.
Pop-pop-potty. So this is a bland monster.
Oh, man. So the illustration makes it look cool, makes it look magical, makes it feel like it is touched by the element of Earth. You know,
I think it looks cursed. I think it looks like it's been like seethed.
Oh yeah. It's got little like outgrowths on it and stuff. Yeah. It's got those big gnarly, fingers.
Balls.
Yep.
Like it's just a weird choice.
You need the
big spiky balls.
No, you really need to ungnarl your testicles, man.
Up to this, till this point, this book had been really carefully avoiding showing genitals. Like all these things had like huge tufts of like pubic secrets.
Yeah.
And then or just their leg would be in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
This one though is just dragon. Like just dragon sack all across the desert floor. Like those rocks that move themselves. Like
this
is what those rocks are.
Instead, this is just a big ass lizard who is immune to venom because he is also venomous.
Which I don't like how that factoid is in the main text of this, because that doesn't feel sciencey to me.
No.
Like I'm not a venomologist, but I feel like there are different types of venom,
mm-hmm.
You know, and being immune to one probably does not mean immune to another one. Like they're just chemicals and they work different ways.
Yeah. Although I don't know. I recently learned that they make, anti-venom out of horse blood. So like, who knows? Is it true that horses cannot be poisoned? No matter how much you try for insurance purposes, I don't know.
Didn't Woody from the Toy Story series of films talk about how a snake bit his horse?
No, he had a snake in his boot, famously.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Feels like a snake biting your horse is a thing, though.
Yeah. You know?
No, we should conference call in autumn.
We should.
And just be like, like by the end of the conversation, she would be crying because it would all be conjecture about Beasley getting poisoned.
Right. I'm just like, well, you know, so like a horse getting spooked by a snake, I think would definitely be a thing. And so we'd probably like run and like run into a tree because horses, though majestic, are really dumb. So I'm sorry, Autumn. Or it gets bit and then it gets real sick and then possibly dies. Like there's no good end to that story. So.
Yeah. So keep horses and snakes away from each other,
please,
I guess, and keep them both away from rock lizards.
Yeah,
because you don't want to risk it. And Shadow Talk is like, these things will attack,
right?
You know, but it's not a very good, like, I had a moment of during this session, I think this is a on the average kind of a little bit of a bland session,
mm-hmm.
of the show. Like there's some good stuff, but there's also some snoozers. But I was just like, you know, the idea of this Shadow Talk thing, super clever. I like how they're more or less like include an adventure hook for most of the monsters through this.
Mm-hmm.
But this adventure hook is as by the numbers as these get.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, if you're out in the desert and there's a bunch of these, leave. You know, it's like, and that's really it. Like, okay.
Yeah. They've got long tongues and they'll get you.
Yep. They'll Yoshi you.
Yeah. The one thing in this entire article that I underlined was, the person Digit in the Shadow Talk, talking about their story. You know, again, they're like, they're very bland.
And the weird on again, off again, cyber romance with Wendy about stuffing things in her data jack.
But Digit, drops into the chat here, the factoid, I lost my real leg in a poker game years back.
Yeah. Yeah. That even felt very by the numbers for this book to me, though, like as a thing, like people coyly referring to having cyber limbs, mm-hmm. and cyber eyes and stuff, like that's happened a bunch.
Yeah.
In here. I think the phrase, I know you can, you're the only person I know who can squeeze sarcasm down a data jack is kind of gross to me.
Yeah.
And then why don't you shove your sarcasm right back up your data jack at the end? Like the idea of the data jack is being this kind of like tube that you can put and I was thinking about the consistency of sarcasm,
like in a Ghostbusters 2 way.
Yeah. For this head tube thing. And it was pretty gross me out. Like it was making me think of like the feeling of, you know, essentially shitting, you know, like, cause I was thinking of sarcasm as being thick, right? Like sarcasm can't be a gas,
right?
Or a liquid. Like it had to be like a gel. you know,
the most upsetting state of matter. Yes.
Yeah. Like it would have to be, it had to be like a gel or an oil.
Yeah.
You know,
A little bit too slick. I think the thing that upsets me about that sentence. So the verb squeeze is pretty bad, but just down a data jack.
Yeah.
The direction there, I think, actually colors this a lot more than the rest of it.
Yeah. Squeeze and down. Like if you're asking me to squeeze anything down anything, it's a little bit unsavory. Like why don't you squeeze that go-gurt down the drain? It's expired. And I'm like, fuck you, dude. That's gross.
Brought to you by our backers at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.